So if you look at the national housing market back in August 2026, it was finally showing these really definitive signs of cooling off.
Right, yeah. Inventory was coming up, price growth was slowing down, and buyers were just, they were pulling back a bit.
Exactly. But if you zoomed in on this one tiny zip code on Virginia's Eastern Shore, the market was doing the exact opposite.
Completely defying the national trend.
I mean, we're talking about a sudden, really aggressive shift into a seller's market. The median sold price for a home skyrocketed by like over $100,000 in just 30 days.
Which sounds completely wild until you look under the hood.
Right. So welcome to this deep dive. Our mission today is to decode the current real estate market conditions for zip code 23336. That is Chincoutimi, Virginia.
We're going to look at the raw data for August 2026, separate the actual facts from all the algorithmic noise, and really figure out what is happening on the ground for you.
But before we even touch the data, we really need to establish the physical reality of this location.
Yeah, the geography is everything here.
Because when you hear the phrase, island on the Atlantic coast, there is this immediate tendency to picture a barrier island.
Right. People immediately visualize this remote stretch of sand that's just taking a constant brutal beating from the ocean waves.
Like maybe you have to take a ferry to get there and you're hauling all your groceries over in a cooler.
Exactly. But Chincoutimi is absolutely not a barrier island.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Assateague Island is the actual barrier island.
Right. Assateague sits right next door to the east, and it acts as this massive natural shield.
It takes the whole brunt of the Atlantic Ocean and just completely shelters Chincoutimi behind it.
Which is a huge distinction, because that shelter allows for a thriving, highly developed residential and commercial community to exist safely on Chincoutimi.
Yeah, you have everyday standard drive-on access via Route 175. You literally just drive right over the marshlands.
And you arrive in this bustling hub. You've got municipal services, grocery stores, established neighborhoods.
So yes, it is an island, but it is deeply integrated with the mainland infrastructure.
Right, which creates a very active pipeline for the tens of thousands of visitors who come through Accomack County every year.
Okay, so that geography sets the stage. But to really understand why Chincoutimi's August numbers are so shocking, we first have to look at the macroeconomic backdrop.
The big picture.
Yeah, like if we think of the national real estate market as this broad weather pattern, what kind of climate were buyers and sellers dealing with across the rest of the country in early September 2026?
Well, the national environment was it was largely defined by cautious adaptation.
Because of the rates.
Exactly. Mortgage rates always serve as the baseline for real estate activity, and they were creeping upward.
Right.
In the first week of September 2026, the primary mortgage market survey showed the 30-year fixed rate sitting at an average of 6.71%.
Which was up from 6.66% just the previous week.
Yep. And noticeably higher than the 6.50% average from a year prior.
And when borrowing money gets more expensive, it just naturally shifts buyer psychology, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, if your monthly mortgage payment is maxed out, just covering the principal and that higher interest, you have way less liquid capital to throw around in a bidding war.
You have to become much more selective. Buyers start pushing back on those inflated asking prices.
And the national data totally reflected that sentiment, right?
It did. The overall supply of homes hitting the market was actually increasing nationally. Buyers finally had more options.
Right. So when you combine those higher borrowing costs with more inventory, the inevitable result is that price growth slows down.
Broadly speaking, the national market was shifting away from that hyper-competitive pandemic era. It was moving toward a much more balanced, leveled-out state.
But here's the crazy part. If the national weather pattern is cooling down, with inventory building up and higher interest rates moderating prices, why did the local microclimate on Chincoutimi suddenly spike?
Yeah, it completely defied gravity.
We pulled the August 2026 data directly from Realtors Property Resource, or RPR, and the numbers are wild.
The local RPR numbers for August show a market that tightened up incredibly fast.
I mean, the most revealing metric is the absorption rate, right? The months of supply.
Exactly. From July to August, the inventory on the island dropped by 6%. That brought the market down to just 5.33 months of supply.
And dropping below that six-month line is what officially drags a zip code out of a balanced state.
Right. It pushes it firmly into seller's market territory. The structural advantage shifted overnight.
And you can see the immediate ripple effects of that depleted inventory across the rest of the August data.
Oh, for sure. When buyers have fewer options on the table, their negotiating leverage just evaporates.
We see this so clearly in the sold-to-list ratio. It jumped to 96.3% for the month.
Meaning sellers were holding firm on their asking prices. They were giving up very little ground during negotiations.
The velocity of the market accelerated, too. The median days on market for sold homes dropped to just 53 days.
Which, for a housing market that includes a lot of secondary residences, vacation homes, and high-end waterfront properties, moving inventory in under 2 months is a very brisk pace.
Yeah, buyers were not lingering at all.
And the sheer volume of transactions spiked dramatically. In July, the island saw 8 closed sales.
Right.
In August, that number jumped to 15 closed sales.
So almost double the amount of inventory successfully made it through the pipeline to the closing table in a single 30-day window.
It's massive.
Okay, I have to pause here, though, and challenge the pricing data. Because when you look closely at these RPR reports, there's this glaring disparity.
The median price jumped.
Yes. In July, the median sold price for a home in this zip code was $267,500. But in August, that median sold price shot up to $375,000.
Which is an increase of over 40% in 1 month.
We are talking about a jump of over 100 grand.
Okay.
But at the exact same time, the median estimated property value for the island stayed virtually flat at $439,780.
Yeah, it only moved up like 0.4%.
So how does the median sold price shoot up over $100,000 while the actual value of the homes on the island barely moves? I mean, that makes no sense on paper.
Well, what you're seeing in the data is a textbook example of the small sample effect.
Okay, explain that.
It's incredibly common in these mixed-price coastal markets. See, the housing stock on Xinku Tigue is incredibly diverse.
Right, it's not all just one type of house.
Exactly. You have older, modest, 1950s block foundation cottages situated further inland, but you also have multi-million dollar elevated luxury estates sitting right on the waterfront.
With deep water dock access and panoramic views of the channel.
Right. It is not a master plan subdivision where every home is a nearly identical three-bedroom build on a quarter-acre lot.
Far from it.
So because the property types vary so drastically and because the overall volume of sales is relatively low, like just 8 to 15 homes closing in a given month, the statistical median is highly vulnerable to skewing.
Ah, I see. So if the 8 homes that happened to close in July were predominantly those modest inland cottages, the median sold price for that specific month is going to skew artificially low.
You got it. And then in August, maybe 3 or 4 of those luxury waterfront estates finally clear all their contingencies and make it to the closing table.
Right. And out of a pool of only 15 total sales, those few high-dollar transactions just violently pull the median sold price upward.
Exactly. The underlying value of a standard inland home didn't magically increase by $100,000 just because the calendar flipped from July to August.
The intrinsic value of the housing stock remained highly stable, which is exactly what that median estimated value of $439,000 tells us.
Right. What changed wasn't the value of the homes. What changed was simply the specific mix of properties that happened to close that month.
Okay, so the small sample effect perfectly explains the math behind the price jump. It tells us how the median sold price skyrocketed without the broader market values changing.
Yes. Yeah.
But it still doesn't explain the volume. It doesn't explain why we went from 8 closings in July to 15 in August.
Right.
Like, if the rest of the country is tapping the brakes, what caused this sudden aggressive surge of buyers actually closing deals on the island?
To understand the surge in volume, we have to look outside of the traditional financial metrics. We have to look at a uniquely local catalyst.
Okay.
It essentially functions as a hidden engine for this local economy. Late July brings the annual pony swim and auction to Xinku Tigue.
Oh, pony penning.
Yes, known locally as pony penning.
I've seen the coverage of this, and the scale is unbelievable. They literally swim the wild ponies across the channel from Esatigue Island, auction them off, and the entire town basically turns into a massive festival.
It does. The influx of foot traffic is astronomical. You have tens of thousands of visitors flooding onto the island for this highly concentrated, very emotional, very celebrated cultural event.
Right.
It creates a micro-seasonal market driver that you simply will not find on any national real estate spreadsheet.
It's cultural tourism translating directly into an economic real estate surge. Because think about the psychology of the visitor.
Oh, exactly. They come down for the week. The weather is beautiful. The community energy is just infectious.
And they fall in love with the waterfront lifestyle. Yeah. And before the week is even over, they're pulling out their phones, looking at listings, calling local agents to tour properties.
They write offers while they are still riding the high of the event.
Wow.
But the mechanical reality of purchasing a home dictates the timing of the data. When you sign a standard real estate contract, the transaction does not finalize that afternoon.
Right. A standard closing timeline takes roughly 30 to 45 days to allow for inspections, appraisals, all the mortgage underwriting.
The math lines up perfectly.
It is the ultimate vacation impulse buy. It's like going to a gift shop after an amazing theme park ride, but instead of buying a commemorative t-shirt, you buy a coastal beach house.
Yes, perfect analogy. And if you sign that contract during the last week of July while you're standing in that proverbial gift shop,
30 to 45 days later lands you squarely in the middle to late August.
Exactly. So the spike in August closings jumping from 8 to 15 is not a random statistical anomaly.
And it isn't a sudden rebellion against national mortgage rates either.
No. It is the direct result of the late July pony penning buyer surge working its way through the standard 30-day closing pipeline.
That is fascinating. And, you know, this really highlights the danger of relying purely on automated valuation models.
Oh, completely.
An algorithm in some tech hub sees a 40% median price spike and a doubling of sales volume in August. And it probably triggers an alert saying the Shingku Teague market is exploding.
When in reality, a localized analysis reveals that the underlying values are stable, and the volume spike is just the predictable result of the annual July tourism surge finally closing on their properties.
Data without hyperlocal context is frequently misleading.
Almost always. In a mixed-price island market driven by a massive micro-seasonal event, the local context is literally the only lens that provides an accurate picture.
So let's translate this analysis to practical application for you, the listener.
Let's do it.
If you have a stake in the 23336 zip code, whether you currently own property, operate a short-term rental, or are, you know, actively scouting listings, how do you navigate this specific environment?
Right. Let's break down the actionable takeaways, starting with the sell side.
Okay. So if you are preparing to list a property, what's the move?
The primary takeaway is that the current market momentum favors you, the seller. Inventory is sitting at 5.33 months. Which officially places you in a seller's market.
Homes are moving in 53 days.
And buyers are conceding more during negotiations, which is evidenced by that 96.3% sold-to-list ratio. A well-priced, strategically presented home has substantial wind at its back right now.
However, sellers have distinct options on how to deploy that leverage. You don't have to just follow a single playbook.
No, you essentially have two distinct paths, depending entirely on what your personal priorities are.
Right. So the first is the traditional listing route. You price it aggressively, you stage the home, implement professional marketing, and you just endure the back and forth of negotiations and buyer demands.
You take this path when your singular goal is maximizing your net profit, squeezing the absolute highest possible dollar amount out of the current market conditions.
But the alternative is the direct, as is sale. And in a tightened market with low inventory, this becomes a highly viable, really strategic option.
Yeah, you bypass the traditional market entirely. No open houses, no professional staging, no agonizing negotiations over some minor repair flagged by a home inspector.
Right, you essentially trade a portion of your top-line profit for absolute speed and certainty.
Which is incredibly appealing for specific scenarios.
Oh, definitely. Maybe you inherited a property from a relative and managing it from out of state is a logistical nightmare.
Or maybe the home requires significant structural updates and you have absolutely no desire to navigate hiring local contractors.
Or perhaps you are just a fatigued landlord who wants to hand over the keys and reclaim your time.
Both paths are valid. The choice simply depends on whether you value maximum profit or maximum convenience.
Makes sense. Now, what if you are on the buy side trying to enter this market?
The strategy shifts. You have to recognize that the generous negotiating window you might have enjoyed earlier in the summer is narrowing.
Because supply dipped below 6 months.
Exactly. The leverage slips away from you. The wait-and-see approach becomes very risky.
So if a property hits the market that aligns with your criteria and is priced appropriately, you really cannot operate under the assumption that it will remain active for weeks.
Or that the seller will entertain an offer significantly under asking. You don't need to panic buy. but you do need to move with decisive intention.
And what about for current owners who are just monitoring their assets, you know, the people checking their home values on Zillow every month?
The directive for them is clear. Ignore the noise.
Right. Do not panic if the median sold price plummets next month, and do not celebrate the 40% jump we saw in August.
It is entirely a product of the small sample effect. The monthly closing data is a roller coaster based on which handful of houses happen to sell.
So what should they look at instead?
Anchor your expectations on the year-over-year appreciation rate of the estimated values. For this specific zip code, the underlying values are showing a steady, healthy growth rate of 3.2% over the past 12 months.
That 3.2% figure is the true indicator of your investment's health.
Exactly.
So we've mapped out the macro weather patterns, the unique microclimate, the deceptive small sample price swings, and the hidden economic engine of the pony penning surge.
We covered a lot of ground.
But if there's one overarching lesson here, it is that a spreadsheet cannot evaluate the nuances of an island property.
No, an algorithm doesn't know the difference in value between a bulkheaded deep water dock and a shallow marsh view.
Right. Nor can it accurately assess the logistical cost of bringing roofing materials across the Route 175 bridge.
Which underscores exactly why localized, boots-on-the-ground expertise is a non-negotiable requirement in this specific zip code.
Absolutely. If you own property on Chincoteague, or anywhere in Accomack County, really, and you need to understand exactly what these conditions mean for your specific situation, you need to engage an expert who actually understands the physical and economic reality of the island.
You need to reach out directly to Chuck Cornwell at CHC Realty.
He brings this multidisciplinary approach to real estate that is, frankly, essential for a market with this much texture.
Yeah, Chuck has over 40 years of Virginia real estate experience. He is a licensed broker, but crucially, he is also a licensed Class A contractor, a real estate instructor, and a title insurance agent.
That is a crazy resume. When he walks through your property to discuss pricing or evaluates a buyer's request for repairs, his advice isn't based on some automated guess.
Right. It is grounded in the hard realities of actual construction costs and local island logistics.
Yeah.
He literally sees the structural bones of the deal.
And having a broker who can simultaneously view a transaction through the lens of a classic contractor provides a massive strategic advantage.
Whether you are trying to maximize a traditional listing or negotiating a fast as a sale, you want that insight.
Now, he intentionally limits his active client roster to ensure that he can provide direct personal attention to every transaction. So if you're weighing your options, the smartest move is to start the conversation early.
Definitely reach out.
You can reach him directly by calling 540-729-7801. Let's say that again. The number is 540-729-7801. You can also email him directly at chuck@chuckcornwell.com.
But before we wrap up today, I actually want to pivot away from the immediate monthly data and leave you with a much broader, longer-term concept to consider.
Okay, lay it on us.
We spent a lot of time today analyzing how a cultural event like pony penning drives these 30-day closing cycles. But looking 10 or 20 years down the line, how will the physical realities of climate change and rising sea levels begin to aggressively reprice these hyper-local coastal microclimates?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Will the increasing complexities of flood insurance and coastal infrastructure eventually overpower the seasonal tourism engines that currently sustain these island markets?
That is a massive question about the long-term viability of coastal investments. And it just goes to prove that the forecast is always shifting.
It really is.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.